On SEN, questions without notice. For Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.
Great to have you with us this morning. We're up and about after hearing from Matty Ryan and the exploits of Andrew Hoy and all of our great Olympians. Message from my six-year-old mum last night. Obviously, it was up way past her bedtime. Apparently, there's a new chant. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Hoy, hoy, hoy.
Yes, there it is. There it is. I love that. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. He has done us proud. That is an unbelievable. Like, I know we gloss over things from time to time, but 62 years of age to do what he did and then even be thinking about, as Matty Ryan just said, Matty Ryan said before about the fact that, no, he'd be looking forward to Paris now. That'd be a nice old place to be riding around the horses to, Paris, wouldn't it?
I think given the success of the SEN Olympic broadcast, we're lay down Mazaire for Paris. You and I, we may not be, but the Gerard Geraldo, you'll be booking his place on the champs Elsie right now.
The champs Ulysses. Yeah, it'd be a magnificent. Wouldn't it? How magnificent? How beautiful? Potentially beautiful would that be?
Beautiful.
Oh, the backdrop there, unbelievable. Yep.
Righto, questions without notice after the Monday night offerings, and you've had a day to dissect what was a big round of footy. There's actually probably the one that has come that we haven't spoken about is the Jack Viney situation. So didn't see that on the day. He had an altercation with, I think it was Sam Collins.
Sam Collins, yeah.
And got into a wrestle and a fracas. Now he had his what looked to be his forearm on around the face and throat of Collins, which wasn't a great look. So he's been sent straight to the tribunal for misconduct. So he's got to now front up and explain himself.
Completely unacceptable. Completely unacceptable non-football act that Jack committed on the football field. And it looked violent. It looked ugly. It looked potentially seriously dangerous as well. And I think they've done the right thing by sending it to the tribunal. Now, we don't know what sort of a penalty they may come back with, but I wouldn't be surprised if he got at least 2 weeks for that.
Yeah, look, it's difficult, and I've got to call it as I see it. I agree. I hated the look. I love the man.
Well, you tell
me. Hated the look.
You tell me exactly what you thought when you saw that.
Oh, no, that's, you know, we know.
We'll, no, but it took your mind to a violent act that had occurred over.
Yeah, and ended up in a
in the death
situation
of somebody over in America. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't like it, and I know Jack's a smart kid. He'll look at it. I hope he'll look at it and go, yeah, in the end, because it was okay if it's there for half a second as you're pushing yourself up, well, you can kind of, but it was there for a prolonged period of time. So yep, we will wait and see. I think it's got multiple weeks as well.
You think two? Do you think two will cut it off or not?
At least.
Yeah.
I think they'll make a point of, and it's fair enough, they'll make a point and say this is not the look we want in footy.
No, there are things that you can reasonably expect to have happen to you on the football field. And what took place there is not one of those. Yeah. It's just not one of those. So he will answer that at the tribunal online too. So he's over there in Perth, and there'll be a link between the two.
Can I ask you one more? This is all questions that notice. A very simple one. What is your opinion of the West Coast Eagles today, their football club?
That they are just limping to the line. That's my opinion of them as a football club.
That's the most generous assessment I've heard.
Well, but I said that they were pathetic yesterday. Their performance yesterday was pathetic. But, yeah, when you analyse what they're doing at the moment and the fact that they haven't been able to get themselves back on track in a meaningful and consistent way, and then I looked at that vision you showed last night on the couch and the efforts of some of those players, their head just wasn't in the game. And it beggars belief that somebody like Shannon Hearn, their skipper, can be playing his 300th game. So a really meaningful occasion for somebody that you would hope that they all admire and look up to, and then that you could trot out a insipid performance like that as part of that celebration.
Why? That's what I kept trying to get to last night.
No, I heard you last night, and I think exactly the same thing. And it's never one thing. Like, we all try probably and simplify these reasons as to why teams aren't performing, and they're never one thing. But I would shake it up. And I said yesterday, and I know you talked about it last night too, the best team performance that I've seen from them came that day up at the SCG against Carlton when they had their backs to the wall with a what looked like a really inexperienced, depleted side. But they had that desire to want to compete and play hard. And we've only seen that on rare occasions from them this year.
So I think – I've been trying to think about it because it does – well, it doesn't annoy me, but I'm looking at it thinking – because I keep asking the question why – they must have, that group of players that played on the weekend, a sense of entitlement. They must, there must be
the They're not on the edge, are they?
Yeah, there must be the sense that irrespective of what happens, because we've spoken about the fact that this has happened previously on a number of occasions, yet they're still there. And I know there's limited amount of players that you can put into a team, so I understand all that sort of stuff. But there is a very, there must be a sense of comfortability about them. Over there in Perth, the big dogs in the big city. They play every week pretty much anyway. So, you know, we can have a humiliating performance when Sydney beat us down there. But you know what? Guess what? I'm going to play. I'll still play next week.
Do you shake them up?
Somehow it's got to be shaken up.
How do you shake them up, though? Do you drop a couple of big-name players and just say, look, that is an unacceptable – you could show them the vision. You could show Yo that vision last night and say, okay, well, that's just unacceptable from you.
Yep.
You're out this week. You're not playing.
Yeah, well, I think you've only got so many mechanisms at your disposal within this. And I think that's what you got to do, Tim. You got to make that call. And then you got to make a really harsh assessment on what happens at the end of the year in terms of your playing list. Mm. I mean, we looked at the demographic of it, okay. The demographic's all right when you're winning like Geelong are, 10 of the last 11. It's not when you're losing by 90-odd points.
When you're making comparisons with teams' efforts and their situation, you always benchmark the best, okay? So let's benchmark the best in sport that we know here in this country, given what's happened with COVID-19 the last 12, 18 months. Mm. Melbourne Storm, okay? Last year, they did it harder than anybody, any other team in this country. Forget about AFL football. Any other team in this country, they did it harder than anybody. Mm. Went on and won the grand final. This year, they've had it tough again because they've had to move around and go into a hub, all that sort of stuff. Still performing.
Yeah, yeah.
You go back to the West Coast Eagles when they went into that hub last year and they were performing the way they were. And what did they do?
Mm.
They fell apart as a group and an organisation. Yeah. They started to talk about how tough. Now, everybody was experiencing it tough, okay? They didn't have it any tougher than anybody else at that time. But I think it goes now, on reflection, it goes to the heart of that group of players and how they're not able to fight their way through adversity.
So that's the other thing. The Sydney Swans are the team that we lauded last night. You compare, and it just occurred to me whilst we were doing the show, you compare the two. Compare the two teams in terms of one's no-nonsense attitude, no acceptance of, you know, poor performance, no deviation in their best and worst. You know, of course they're going to lose games, Sydney, and they had a year last year, but this is how quickly they bounce back because they've got a there's no sense of comfortability or entitlement in that side. There is the standards. You play to these or you won't be a part of the Sydney Swans. Mm. And even Geelong. Like Geelong, I know people don't want to give Geelong their credits. Geelong don't have performances like the West Coast Eagles.
They don't fluctuate like that.
One of those performances would be enough for Chris Scott and his group. And then the ramifications and the, you know, the whether it's Selwood or Dangerfield eyeballing the group saying, this thing just keeps happening over there. So there is an undeniable issue and it needs to be fixed. And that's for them to sort out, but that's...
Well, they've had a long time to diagnose their problem.
Yeah.
Like you go all the way back to that horrendous loss against Geelong. I mean, that's a long, long time ago now.
And Sydney at Geelong.
That's right. And then they followed up with that really poor performance against Sydney and they still haven't been able to find the mechanism to correct it.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Hey, Adam Treloar might be back for the West. You're talking about a side at the other end of the scale who are on top of the ladder and purring along at the moment. Dunkley back in the last couple of weeks. Adam Treloar now looks like he might be available this week against Essendon.
That's a tasty little in, isn't it? Like if you were if you were wanting to give a player like he a nice little run-in tune-up for the finals, you'd be saying, okay, let's give him 3 weeks before the finals start. You know, that'll get him back on track and conditioned, that type of thing. So that can't come at a better time for him and their chances as well. He makes an enormous difference because he provides a point of difference about their midfielders. Mm. And we saw that early in the season when he's playing. Like, he actually has got a turn of speed. He's got some real power and some real jets to the way he plays coming out of stoppages and out of congestion. So he's going to be in a massive inclusion.
Report in the paper today that, I think it was in the paper, Cam Guthrie, best and fairest winner at the Geelong Footy Club, is a unrestricted free agent and out of contract. So that's, we can sort it out. That's fair enough. Tom Morris also reported last night that Luke Parker is an unrestricted free agent, superstar we spoke about yesterday, and out of contract. Cannot envisage any situation in how he doesn't stay at Sydney, but yep. Let's just take that aside. When you're talking about the Gold Coast Suns and what can they do? And this is, I know it can be fairyland, but this is exactly what needs to be done. Guthrie, Parker, two others, and take them up there and embed them in that place. They may not want to do it. But if it gets to that, I mean, until such time as we can see something like that take place, they seem and appear and reportedly have invested all of their money, a lot of their money, most of their money in their young talent.
And they would say they have to, otherwise they can't keep them.
So they've got that issue. That's right. But in that then compromises your ability to attract the quality. So, you know, as again, Parker will stay at Sydney, yeah. I'm sure, because that's what Sydney do, and he's a Sydney man. But if it's a money thing and they're having a big blue, just say hypothetically in the wildest they can't resolve it, Gold Coast's ability to go in and go, bang, here's money that you want. Get in here.
They're exactly the type of soldiers that they need up there. Exactly the type of soldiers they need have come from. And this is the in the selection for the Gold Coast Suns is the pedigree of those players, where they come from, the type of organisation they've been associated with, the type of team they've been associated with, the type of coaching they've had. It ticks all those boxes for them.
It does, doesn't it?
But can I ask you this question about the Gold Coast Suns, though? Do you think, given the Gold Coast Suns are one of the newer teams to the competition, they're still wed to the AFL, obviously the AFL underpinned them financially, do you think that if they were thinking about moving on from Stuart Dew, hypothetically, do they have that conversation with the AFL? Yeah, how pivotal to the conversation is the AFL?
Yeah, no, I think they'd have to. I think the AFL would oversee.
Because they have to say, paid you out first?
Oh, yeah, but all those teams that have been on a drip feed in the past, Melbourne Footy Club included, when they make big, big decisions, they had to run them past the AFL.
Okay, so we all know that Mark Evans had a relationship with Al Clarkson. They were both at Hawthorn together. Al Clarkson is now available. He's not coaching next year. Do they have that conversation, do you think, the AFL, with the Suns?
Probably. Of course they should. Of course they could ask that question and start to work through that process, because when the best is available and you've got a problem, then you can put the two together. Now, the likelihood of Alistair Clarkson doing that, I think, without having ever spoken to him, would be really slim, and I think he needs a year off. I think a year away from footy completely for him would be the best thing. But, yeah, I think, any club who's in that situation would be looking at him, wouldn't they?
They would be mad not to. Mm. At this point of time, they would be mad not to have a look at him.
You can get frustrated on the Gold Coast Suns forever, but we keep remembering that they're an 11-year-old organisation.
Yep.
And if we want to go back through history and look at the clubs that have come into our AFL competition, if you want to go way, way, way back, and I know the history, you've got to be patient, I know. But right now, it's just in a situation where it needs something up there. And if it's support for Stuart Dew, then it's support for Stuart Dew. I don't know, but it just looked pretty grim on the weekend. The Kia Sorento Drive Car of the Year is great supporters of ours. We'll come back after this.
Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Kogan Credit Cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Thank you. Seven Seat Careers. Keisha has been crowned Drive Car of the Year. I want to play this. This is The Arrow. I'm going to play it last night on Footy Classified. And this is Carolyn Wilson on the appointment of Nick Del Santo as the AFLW coach for St Kilda.
Another favourite son gets a senior women's coaching gig, and yet again we see the women's game being further remoulded into the shape of a man. We see it at the Olympics and we keep seeing it in footy. Male coaches turning to women's sports and too often using those sports as a pathway back into the male game. Yes, St Kilda interviewed women for the job. One even made it to the shortlist. Until the AFL promotes women's coaching pathways from the bottom to the top, the jobs for the boys will continue.
So that's on the back of Nick Del Santo being approached. I wasn't aware that, I didn't even know that Nick was going for the job. So it got to the stage where there was a shortlist, obviously. There right. was Nick. I didn't, according to Caroline, there was a female coach that had made it to the shortlist as well.
What's the
obligation then? Do you appoint the best coach or do you appoint the female coach to make sure that you have a strong representation in the coaching ranks?
Well, I think you attack
strong representation. There's no representation of a female in the coaching ranks.
Okay. Just in answer to your question, do you know what the Coaching Pathways program is for female coaches?
No, I don't.
Is it part of, I know that there is a coaching pathway and they do level, two, three, four courses. And I know David Whedon has been part of all that too, behind the scenes at the AFL for a long period of time. Is the same system open and available to women?
I would imagine so.
Okay, but neither
you can do your level one and level two and all that sort of stuff.
That's right. So
yeah, I would think so.
So has the pathway been developed? Which is my question to you.
Is it available to the women to the females to be able to be involved in the
that's
in
right
the
is
coaching pathway?
Because that's the question that Caro said. That pathway is it there?
I don't know the answer. I would say yes. I assume. I'm just assuming that if you want to be a coach and you want to enter and put yourself forward for a level one coaching course, that would be available to you.
My simple answer to that question would be that if you're the coaching panel, do you not want the best person for the job? Now, I don't know. I didn't sit down and interview any of those people, so I don't know who the best person for the job was. Has Nick Del Santo coached before?
Yes, he's been coaching there as
juniors.
The next generation academy coach. He's been coaching at the AIS for the AFL. He's been involved with their elite program and been involved with their father-son program down there at St Kilda as well.
Okay, so if I'm a player, from a player's perspective, and I'm sure there are not enough female coaches out there at the moment. I'm sure that, and I'm hopeful that in time there will be a whole bevy of women coaches that come through, say the coaching system, and then have the experience, whatever it might be, right? So, but if I'm a player, I want the best. I want the person who can produce the best team performance for me as a player to give me the best advantage to develop as a player and then ultimately experience success as a team member of that particular team that's coached by whoever it might be, male or female.
So why is there no female coaches then?
I can't answer that question. I don't know whether or not there's enough female coaches in this. I don't know. I really don't know. But my answer to your question is, okay, who is the best person?
Well, Peter Searle was the coach.
Who is the best person to deliver the best results for the individual and for the team? Be it man or woman.
Do you have to have an eye to the development of the code?
Always. I think there's always got to be
okay,
the
so
eye to
is
that.
There a level of, is there a level of compromise there to say, okay, maybe the female candidate is not at the level of the male, but in the interest of trying to attract more women into coaching and therefore...
That should be a consideration. But we haven't had this elite competition for very long, have we?
No, we have not. We have female coaches at our junior club. They have to complete the same level one course as I do to be able to coach. There you go. That's from Jack. Yeah, it's a process that's going to be there for a long time. And, jobs for the boys. I'm scared to comment on that these days. Billy's in Ascot Vale. G'day, Bill.
Yeah, morning, guys. Yeah, I just like to ask, mainly Tim especially, do you think the females respond better or react better to a male, giving them instructions, than a female?
I don't know. You'd have to ask female players, Billy. I really don't know.
What do you think, Bill?
I was just curious because I think that it's all male dominated now. I'm just presuming that the message is getting more across for the girl than the female coach. That's all.
Yeah, well, across the board, though, I don't think that would be the issue, trying to extract the most out with whether it's a footballer or a swimmer or a track and field athlete, male, female coaches, I see both. There is a dearth of female coaches and who some people saying they're not getting opportunity. I guess that's what we're hearing right now. Mm. We need to be more immersed in that. We'll watch with interest. Nick Del Sano is a fantastic football person, Nick Del Sano. And if my daughter was at St Kilda, then I'd be thrilled that he was going to be coaching him. Just as I would have been thrilled with when Peter Searle was there in the last couple of years, forging the pathway forward for the next generation of coaches.
Mm. I would think that we're very much in the early stages and the infancy stages of developing our national AFLW competition. And over time, that part of the game will be developed. As the game progresses, so too will that part of the game progress, I would think. But
yep.
Josh is in Sunbury. Good morning, Josh.
Morning, boys. I am pretty passionate about this topic. I love the AFLW. And I know we try and say ignore social media, but if you look at social media and the attitudes that males in particular have towards AFLW, it's quite obvious why females don't get into the game. It's negativity around the scoring, the skill level. Now, if you're a 15, 16-year-old female and you wanting to get into coaching or playing and you look at that, you know, the scrutiny that they come under after only being playing for 5 years, I'm not really sure that there's an enticement or a motivation to get into the game. So I think until we change our attitudes and our mindset, I think we're going to have a shortage of coaches and even talent.
Josh, I agree with your attitude to social media. I think that's just a cesspit. So I don't think it's going to be a disincentive, though, for girls who want to play the game. The numbers suggest that otherwise it's booming and it is growing at a rapid, rapid rate, and that's only a good thing. And the coaches will come with it. The coaches will come along with it.
Of course they will. Of course they will, Gary. And these young the game is going to spit out women players along the way, like it spat out Nick Del Sando and it spat you out and spat me out and all that type of thing. And those people then will decide what they want to do and when they want to continue in a football environment. I would be surprised if Daisy doesn't ultimately become a coach and an excellent coach too. And she may end up being the first female coach of a men's AFL team too. Her knowledge of
Mel
football
Hickey's another one
is second to none.
They're doing the same thing. So, is it disrespectful to Nick Del Sando to say that you only got a job because it's a job for the boys, as is suggested off the temper text machine?
Yeah, you could read it like that, but I don't think Nick's going to be too upset by it.
I don't think he will. Don't forget, Caller of the Year could win a 2021 Toyota Hilux Rugged X valued at over $75,000. Keep your Toyota in tip-top shape. Toyota Genuine Service. Book online today. Nick Bedeau to join us shortly. Ah, dear me. Nick Bedeau is going to join us live from Tokyo. Stuart McSween is running
Smoky
heats today. The 1500 metres wispy. Is it? He's running it? No. That's when we're interviewing Nick.
Smoky McSween, we call him. It's like a hit and run mission. It is. They've only just arrived over there in Tokyo. He's been doing all his pre-training in Europe, and they're about to hit the track, and they're ready to go too. He's a racer. He is a racer, Gary.
Ian's not happy. I turn on SEN, they're talking about AFLW after the stunning TV ratings of the Matildas. Why am I not surprised? Come on, Ian, open up. We've been talking about the Matildas this morning, weren't you? Up and about in the first hour. It's turning into one of those days, Wisp.
The Australians, the Matildas, they've got a male coach as well. I'm not trying to be clever here in any way, but I just wonder whether or not there has been a push in that area too for more female coaches in the world of soccer. It seems to be completely dominated by a lot of the guys.
I don't know the answer to that. There was a question without notice that I didn't get to that has been posed by our backroom boys. Right now, who is winning Essendon's best and fairest? Merritt, Parrish, or the package?
I would have Merritt, Parrish, neck to neck. And Jakey Stringer just a little block below them.
Typical.
Not far below them, but just
typical midfield bias. I have Stringer way out in front.
You know, your midfield bias.
Your midfield bias
is only.
It's not my midfield bias.
That bias is only matched by the key position bias out there. Extraordinary.
Key position bias doesn't get anything, doesn't get anyone anywhere.
Well, that's because they have no impact on the games, and it's the midfielders that win the games. Have a look at the coaches' awards. They understand where the game's won.
I rest my case.
Well, they understand where the game is won and lost.
I rest my case.
That's a tired old argument anyway.
How come you get two cups of coffee and I only get one?
Because I asked for another cup
of coffee. Well, how come I always pay at the end of the day and I'm paying for your two and my one?
I will pay for this. Okay, Bailey Dale received the maximum 10 coaches' votes at the weekend. Is he a lock? A lock to be an All-Australian halfback flanker?
No.
He's very much in the conversation, yes?
He might, yeah. Yeah, 100%. You said a lock. A lock is Marcus Bontempelli.
Yeah, okay, but that was the question.
And
so,
I answered it, no.
So you answered it with a no. Yep. You're getting a bit antsy here.
Well, your comments about the key positions really got me offside. All right, let's get
it. I was listening to who did the Tassie game? Was it Nick Riewoldt? Did Nick and John O'Brien do it at
Which
the weekend?
One?
The one down Tassie between Geelong and North Melbourne.
I didn't see it. I was broadcasting.
Okay. Well, let's not.
You're having a go at those two, are you?
Well, I was going to.
This is brand damaging.
As opposed to Del Santo and Lewis.
Well, I think there's a little bit of bias towards the positions that were played by certain players when they call. Yes, I do.